This is Wade Brathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on the fact that movements take infrastructure, not simply communication. Maybe someone out there is hearing our tired, old, boring message. Organizing takes hard work. Yes, I've said it now, but it was never a secret, despite the flutter of excitement about the mirage of so-called Twitter and Facebook revolutions. In two very interesting pieces, one after the protest by Zeynep Tefexi in The Times, and Does a Growing Youth Population Fuel Political Unrest in The Guardian by Patrick Kingsley, two very different perspectives converge on the conclusion that if you want change, the anger matters, but it has to be matched with the work. Tefexi confronts directly the confusion about the means, specifically excitement about the tools of social media being insufficient to achieve the ends. Essentially, they can communicate, but they can't organize. He cites a sudden uprising of 100,000 people in Istanbul recently to protest the death after a long health struggle of a 15-year-old hit by a tear gas canister in protest last year around the square. They came, they marched, and then it was over. Or, as he correctly observes, yet often these huge mobilizations of citizens inexplicably wither away without the impact on policy you might expect from their scale. This muted effect is not because social media isn't good at what it does, but in a way, because it's very good at what it does. Digital tools make it much easier to build up movements quickly, and they greatly lower coordination cost. This seems like a good thing at first, but it often results in an unanticipated weakness. Before the internet, the tedious work of organizing that was required to circumvent censorship or to organize a protest also helped build infrastructure for decision-making and strategies for sustaining momentum. Now movements can rush past that step, often to their own detriment. After knowing the lack of change that protest movements from those in Turkey to Occupy Wall Street to the now mourned Egyptian Revolution and the huge but ultimately ineffective protests against austerity mounted by the indignados in Spain, he reminds people about the infrastructure it took to organize something more sustained, like the Montgomery bus boycotts in 1955. Joanne Robinson, a professor at Alabama State College, and a few students sneaked into the public duplicating room and worked all night to secretly mimeograph 52,000 leaflets to be distributed by hand with the help of 68 African-American political, religious, educational, and labor organizations throughout the city. Even mundane tasks like coordinating carpools in an era before there were spreadsheets required endless hours of collaborative work. Kingsley's point comes from another direction. He sees a wide generational gap between a huge majority of young populations in many developing countries in Africa, whether Egypt, Yemen, or Nigeria, and Latin America, yet wonders essentially why there isn't more action. He sees the anger in Egypt and other countries, but wonders whether it's about finding a place or about change. Without exactly saying so, he wonders if this is all about middle-class entitlements and grievances or about something different. Both are raising important about-time kind of questions that need to be part of the debate everywhere that people have who care for justice and equality. There are no simple answers, and you certainly won't get them here. All of these movements were courageous, inspired, and people gave everything they could to make them happen and win when the opportunity arose. Nonetheless, it also seems obvious, no matter which way you look at the question, there are no shortcuts to social change. You have to do the organizing work. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.